mentioned that Rife plays a role in routing coordination, and you mentioned the IP address space exhaustion as issues that you're beginning to tackle. Could you touch a bit more on the role that you're playing in those areas?
When we started Rife, the network IP networking situation in Europe was very simple. Everybody built his own networks. We have chosen to call all networks regional networks because that leaves out all political disputes of who is the only kosher national network. That was a very exciting time. Everybody built his network and connected it one way or the other to his closest neighbor networks, and within 6 months a total chaos was created. So the need for routing coordination was very clear to all players. It's either play together or don't play at all on a European scale. So one of the first tasks we tackled was to get some order in the routing coordination. The only way we found to do that is to have some minimal routing information stored in a database that is being trusted by everybody who plays this game. And one of the important tasks of the Rife NCC nowadays is the maintenance of this database. This database, which is usually approached via the normal Whois type of protocols. This database is now trusted by all network providers in Europe, and they store all information there needed by their colleagues in Europe to do proper routing.
So you're actually using the same database that's used for Whois as the basis for the routing tables in Europe? You generate
yes.
the routing tables out of the Whois database?
Yes. The Whois database, as maintained by Rife, has some extra objects and fields that make it possible to store routing information there. What is stored actually is not routes themselves, but the enough of a policy description that makes it possible for individual IP service providers to generate routing tables from it.
I suppose having the Whois database form the basis for routing information, that gives people a very strong incentive to keep their Whois information up to date.
Yes, if you apply this in a few key points on the network, it is a great incentive to have your information stored in the database. And this was agreed on one of the very first meetings of Rife, and it was reconfirmed later when many more networks started playing this game, and everybody in Europe is deeply convinced that this is the only practical way to keep the networks going. One should realize that, as opposed to the United States, for instance, that there are no or practically no notions of European-wide backbones that are centrally managed. The new EBONE exercise that started in 92 is the first instance of centrally managed backbone type of networks in Europe.
Now, EBONE provides a variety of coordinating functions for operations. There's another group called the CERN, the Coordinating Council for Intercontinental Research Networking, of which there's a EuroCERN. Does the role of Rife conflict with these groups? Do you find yourself with different aims, let's say, than the CERN or the EBONE folks, or are you part of the same community?
It's the same community. Let's first talk about EBONE. EBONE is an important part of IP networking today in Europe, but it's not the only part. So at the very early stage when the concept of EBONE was born, this has been discussed, and everybody concerned in Europe agreed that it would be extremely counterproductive to have different IP groups working doing European-wide coordination, whether it's a general group as Rife or a group like EBONE focused on one particular backbone network. We can't have two separate groups in Europe. So all coordination is still being done at the end of the day via Rife. Of course, EBONE it's a real network. It's an important network, so they have their own internal technical committees to look after their network. But at the end of the day, it's a backbone network connecting to an ever-growing list of regional networks, and there is the same need for overall coordination as there was 3 years ago when there was no EBON. This is, if I may finish, this sounds complicated, but in the good tradition of RIPE, we keep things very simple. The RIPE routing working group and the EBON technical committee that looks after routing over the EBON has an overlap of 95%, I guess. It's the same people.
Is there more of a need for coordination in Europe than, let's say, in the United States? Is the situation different here, and does that mean there's different groups that help keep the networks together? Is Europe different somehow?
Yes, Europe is different. United States is one country. Europe is, I don't know today how many countries. It changes.
On a daily basis, yes.
So we have a lot of country-based, national-based sensitivities that we have to take care of. On the other hand, sometimes I say, okay, we have all these countries in Europe. The US, the United States has a lot of federal agencies doing their own networking, and they need coordination there. It's a different level, the same principle. So, yes, there are similarities and there are differences.
Do you think regional coordinating functions like you provide on for RIPE in Europe is something that we should be seeing in the rest of the world? Should there be an Asian coordination? Should there be a North American coordination group?
I think yes. I think it's only natural that if you look at the recent developments on the North American continent with the soon to be a free trade zone and between the three major countries there, I think it's only natural that this will expand to closer cooperation in other fields as well, including science, research and commerce. So there will be a growing need for better integrated networking. Of course, it's easier to coordinate that between three players than between 23 players in Europe based on nationalities. There is one extra complication, I think, one extra dimension in Europe, and that is, I have the feeling that there's much more politics in networking in Europe than in the United States. Some of our European governments are not always extremely helpful in the development of international or national networking.
Why is that? And how is that?
How is that? I think that is a nice subject for a long series of programs even, but to give my personal, in a nutshell, feeling of how it is and why it is, there's the European Commission in Brussels that decided 10 years ago that networking might be a strategic subject for future development in Europe. And they took networking as one of the fields where they would try to apply industry policy. And then their choice was very simple: as long as it is not invented in the United States or Japan, it's all right. And that's how they became OSI adherents. And this then trickles down to the national governments, who adopt policies that should at least not conflict with the one in Brussels. And that's why we have seen in the past 10 years in on national policy making level a strong leaning towards OSI flavored networking. And it is sometimes amazing to see how long this continues, whereas the user community has taken quite another road many years ago already.
Is it just stubbornness? Is it people don't understand what's happening, or they're unwilling, or they think they can still change the tide? I mean, why is there such a strong adherence to OSI and X25-based networking and things of that sort?
I think in the first place, the people who define these policies, who are in charge of executing these policies, are in most cases totally ignorant about what networking really is. They don't have terminals on their desks. They have not the slightest idea what they're talking about. And that's how they can, once a policy document has been signed by 23 ministers from 23 countries, it's not easy to change that. If you are a high-level bureaucrat, you keep things like they are.
Is there any hope for such an industrial policy? Let's say there had been a different group of people there. Could they have helped, or do you just see that as a lost cause?
I think it's a lost cause as far as industrial policy is concerned. There is no European computer industry. There are practically no European manufacturers of networking equipment.
On the other hand, there's a great deal of talent in Europe, certainly in the field of networking. For there's people all over the continent.
Sure,
that come
sure,
to mind.
Sure. I mean, all the knowledge is here, the experience is here, and so it could be here. But I think it's a little bit outside the scope of network users to decide that there must be a European computer industry. It's a failure of the Commission and the national governments that European computer industry has disappeared.
This is Geek of the Week, featuring interviews with prominent members of the technical community. Geek of the Week is brought to you by O'Reilly & Associates and by Sun Microsystems.